thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. So could you tell us a little bit, what I want to know is a little bit about yourself. So what's your major? Where are you from? Just a little bit about why you're here at BYU Idaho.
Yeah, absolutely. I was born in Thailand. I was adopted at the age of 2.5, grew up in Kentucky. Currently, I'm studying international relations at BYU and BYU Idaho, and I hope to also end with a minor in business.
Very cool. Okay, so the reason that I have you here is that you are an author. You're an author, but you're also a student here. So what I want to know is, what books do you have, and what was your idea? Where did that idea come from to write the books that you have?
Absolutely. I have two books. The first one is titled How We Saw Christ on Our Missions, and the second book is titled These Little Lights. And the first one, How We Saw Christ on Our Missions, is simply put, is a compilation of mission stories. A number of these stories are mine. But the majority, what I kind of realized as I brainstormed this, is there is so much. I had a friend, and it's just like, I think you talk to friends, you know, they share stories, and you realize that they've lived a completely different life than you have. And I realized my friends served completely different 2 years. I served my mission in Thailand, and then because of COVID, I was reassigned to San Diego. For example, one of the first friends I talked to, he served his mission in Provo, Utah. And completely different stories, but also the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same. And I just realized that we can see Christ in so many ways, whether that is, you know, a lady that was walking in Thailand, or through a teenager that they found in Provo, Utah, who just was having a really hard day. The second book is just called These Little Lights of Mine. And this is a story about, I've been back from my mission for a little over 3.5 years now. And it's me trying to explain and sharing my story of how, as a young adult, I have found Christ in working with the youth of the church. And the goal of that is to encourage, is one, here's the lessons I've learned, but then it's also an invitation to go learn your own lessons. Go figure this out for yourself, because I feel like that's what Christ would have us do when we come back from our missions.
Awesome. That is so fantastic. So you served and you grew up, or you were born in Thailand, and they called you back to Thailand. So how was that, knowing I have roots here and I was called back to this area? How was that?
Oh, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that memory. I had gone down with some friends to go see their parents to Idaho Falls. And so we were at their house, actually, just waiting the call, not thinking about it. And I get the text on my mission board. And the mission office had just switched to, they didn't mail it. They emailed it. And I was like, oh, shoot. But then I was like, oh, shoot. And then my parents actually called and they said, hey, we actually also got it in the mail. Like, it came today. And my dad was like, I took a picture of it. I haven't read it, but do you want to read it? And so it was me. We had a regular mission call opening later where I, you know, pretended I hadn't seen it. But it was a really special moment when I remember reading, you've been called to serve in the Thailand Bangkok mission. And my dad were there, and it was like just five friends and this other random set of parents. But I'll just remember, like, my mom said, she's like, this is right. Like, and I just felt like I'm going home. And it was the coolest thing. Like, the Lord is in the details. Absolutely.
100%. I love that. That is so cool. I think, you know, people could have seen that as a coincidence. But the Lord, there is no such thing as coincidence when the Lord is involved. That's something that I have learned. I was called, so really quick, I served in the Nebraska Omaha mission. Mm-hmm. I was actually one of the last ones that got a paper call. Mm-hmm. There was no email, electronic, nothing. But really quick, I got called in October, and one of my friends, because of health reasons, she had to go home from her mission. And it just so happened that she went home from the same mission I was getting called to.
Oh.
And we were really close friends. And the mission president asked me, or I got assigned to that area that she left just before I got there. And so when the members figured out that I knew who she was and that I was close friends with her, I was able to bring it full circle to help answer their questions about how she was doing and kind of not just answer their questions and put their minds at ease, right? So I don't know, that's something that I hold on to, right? That the Lord knows what not only you need, but what everyone else needs and how you can help serve them, right?
I love that.
I think that's a really special takeaway. So you talk about in interviewing missionaries. How many missionaries did you interview and how long did that take?
So it was pretty exponential and then it kind of dropped off because... So to answer your question, I'm currently actually at 113. And that's informally and formally where kind of like the process, how it is I would text, reach out, had people reach out to me, kind of like, hey, this is the context of the book I'm writing. Do you have 20, 30 minutes? I'd come in with like four or five questions, but kind of like here is just, can I just sit down and talk? And if you could tell others, like, what would you do differently? How would you, what would you change? How did you see Christ on your mission? What did you learn about him? One of my favorite questions actually was, what are the top three Christ-like attributes that you would take away from your mission? And that's kind of what that process looked like. But it was just really cool in just talking with so many people because I like to think that now I've... In a way, I have another, 226 years of experience of where they were like, here's the lesson I learned. And some of them were, similar lines, but ultimately they were all so unique.
I love it. So you're at 113 now. How many do you hope to get to?
I think at 113, I wanted over 100 because the goal of the book is... I ended up as I wrote it. It's split into 10 sections of the different Christ-like 10 different Christ-like attributes that I feel like were important and kind of what I saw as I talked with others. And then each of those, my goal is to have 10 stories. And I feel like I have enough stories because each interview doesn't just give me one story. They'll give me anywhere from 3 to 8, if that makes sense. And these stories aren't long. They don't have to. Some of them are longer, but some of them are short. One of them was simply, I helped this woman who just didn't know if Christ heard her, gave her a blessing, and in that blessing he spoke to her. And I now know that Christ loves each and every one of us at an individual level. And that's essentially, it's a one paragraph story, but it's This matters. This is something I feel that should go into it. So I guess more right now it's more on like a need basis. I don't need anymore. But kind of what it looked like, I think, to even go back, how I started is it really was an impression. I've always liked to write, mainly fantasy. And then I just couldn't find the drive to try to create. But I found passion in people, and I found passion in their stories, if that makes sense. And now what I did was, as soon as I had this thought, and the Lord was like, yeah, go for it. And as soon as I felt that, I think in the first 3-4 days, I actually got at the tail end of a semester. And so I was like, I only have a week. And so in that first week alone, I interviewed like 47 people.
Holy cow. So you were just bouncing back and forth, which leads me to my next question. How did you balance that? How do you balance being an author and a student at the same time?
If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. I really love that. And I think that's the beauty of putting the Lord first. And especially when it's like, here was my goal was, I think growing up was, I want to write a fantasy book. And who knows, down the line maybe. But it was also, I just write in my spare time. I write in a journal. And here it was, if you can, the Lord was like, here's an idea. If you love to write, will you write down other stories about my son, Jesus Christ. And I was like, yeah, that sounds fantastic. And it lined up where, you know, I was able to let go. I think sometimes, you know, you pull up the files, you pull up whatever you're using to write, and you see the old notes, right? You see the old fantasy notes, or you think about it. But then it was like, no, like, I have passion here. Like, this is what I really want to do. And this is what, and the cool thing is it lines up with the Lord's will. And that just makes it easier. I try to set aside a certain number, like an hour a day, specifically where I just sit down and write. And when it came to the interviews, it became a priority. So I remember one Sunday, you know, I think the typical student thing is, you know, you do a game night on Sunday. That Sunday, because I had a week left, I didn't. I ended up, you know, doing 3-4 interviews that night instead of that. And did that take me away from something I really enjoyed doing? Yeah, it did. But I have also learned a lot from doing so.
So you talk about it being the Lord's will for you to do this. You felt prompted to do it. That is something that you took away. What do you hope that this book is geared towards missionaries going into the field, correct?
Yeah.
So what do you hope that the readers take away as they leave on their missions? What do you hope, what is your goal for this whole thing?
I think the message is the same as it was on my mission, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer. You know, in a perfect world, this book's going to have 100 stories. And it's 100 stories of how we saw Christ on our missions. And the cool thing is, more pretty much, I would say 90% of those stories involve others. It involves, one of them was a companion. One of my favorite stories is a guy who had a companion who just struggled and got really upset in a lesson because they didn't see that the friend of the church that was learning with them at the time wasn't keeping a commitment. And they got so frustrated. And the person I was interviewing said they had to take that companion aside afterwards and said, "Elder, like you can't do that. Like we have to love." And I hope that a reader, when they read the book, sees that Christ is in that, right? That Christ loves each and everyone. If Christ can love the person that struggles to keep their commitment, if Christ can love the person that struggles with an addiction, if Christ can love the person that doesn't feel, if Christ can love the 6-year-old that doesn't have a good family life, if Christ can love even the successful people, right? I think he can be successful and still not feel Christ's love. If Christ can love the lawyer, right, that's, you know, doing very well financially in the world, but maybe is struggling back at home because he doesn't know what his values are. If Christ can love that person, then he can love me. And that's the message I want everyone to take away.
Thank you so much. So you talk a lot about asking people for their advice. What advice would they give? I want to know, and I want to turn the question on you. Maybe you talk about this in your book, but what advice would you give to someone? You turn that around. If you got to sit down with someone, what would be the number one thing you would say that comes out of Ty Miller's mouth that a missionary should know before they enter the MTC?
The answer is coming to Jesus. As a missionary, it's not on us. This is the Savior's work. It's not formerly Elder Miller's work. It's not President Nelson's work, but this is the Savior's work. And if there's anything you should know about the Savior, it's he is involved in his work. What does that mean for you and for me? It means that we have to be involved with the Savior. I can't help my friend who's struggling with an addiction. I can't help my sister who's stressed. I can't help my team member who doesn't know how to balance work and a social life and on top of that school. I can't. I don't have the answers. You know who does? It's the Savior. And you have to be involved with him. If you don't involve the Savior, then you won't be able to make it. And here's the thing. I think that's the best part. It takes all the pressure off of us. It takes all the pressure off of our shoulders. Suddenly, I don't have to provide a to-do list of here's what you should do. And honestly, I don't know if I could. I don't have that life experience. But the Savior does. And if you can know, one, if you involve him, and in order to involve him, you just have to simply know, like the biggest advice is, know how you talk with the Savior then. That's the natural answer, is if you don't know how, if you know how you can talk to the Savior and how he talks back to you, then there, that's it. You can ask him anything and he will give back.
After all has been said and done, and this is great, I'm so intrigued by this book. When is your goal to make it available?
I hope by the end of this year for the missionary book. Yes.
And for the other book as well?
The other book, it really depends. Shout out to FSY. Shout out to HXP. Phenomenal organizations to work with. I get the opportunity to do that this summer. And that's where the majority of those stories are going to come from, are in working. I've done it for about a year and a half now being able to work with the youth. But I don't know if I'm able to completely solidify everything I kind of want to take with that one. I would say next year is the goal for that book. It really is. The answer comes with service. And oftentimes we don't need to, the answer to life I feel comes in serving others and in helping others. One of my favorite quotes right now is, if you want, you can get anything you want in life if you help others get what they want first. And I've found that as I've learned to serve my fellow students, but also just the youth of the church. It's been phenomenal. Like the lessons a 16-year-old can teach you when you are tired after a long day's work and they just are like, does Christ love me? And you're like, yes. Yes, he does. Like it's those are some of the most tender moments of my life.
And you get an opportunity to show that Christ loves them, right? Because you are involved in that opportunity to be the Lord's hands in that instance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I share a quick story? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I'll remember, we'll just call this girl Mary. This has happened a little bit while back ago at FSY. Mary was having a tough day. More so her counselors, who are YSA just like I am, were having a tough time at it because the counselors themselves are in charge of anywhere from 30 to 40 of these kids total. And when one kid struggles, these angelic souls will go and lift them. But we could see, my partner and I could see that those two counselors are struggling. So we said, hey, are you doing okay? And they said, we have this youth that's struggling. And I'll never forget it. We was like, okay, we'll take her aside. We pull her aside after a meeting. She thinks she's in trouble. Which granted, yeah, it's two adults pulling her aside. And we were like, no, you're fine, you're fine. And I'll just never remember. I was like, hey, we've heard that things aren't going so well. Can you just help me kind of understand what's going on? And I'll never forget, as she talked, she said, I just struggle with crowds and I don't want to be here. She's like, I'm trying my best. And my partner at this time was just very, very phenomenal in talking to Mary and saying, yeah, I completely understand. Then we had to go after that and make a call to her parents and say, hey, we love your daughter. And now switch to the parents' perspective. Her parents are like, this is the last straw. I don't know. They're like, if we sent our daughter to gain a testimony, and if she doesn't do it here, where else is she going to go? And gosh, that's hard. When you're between that, and it was hard to mediate that and say, no, like this girl, Mary, we're going to have her come home. And we ended up talking for Mary, listening to Mary for like 20, 30 minutes before we said, hey, okay, thanks so much. We love you. You just head back to your group. And I remember later that evening, you just kind of move on in things just very quickly. FSY is just very fast paced. I am at we're at the dance, just having a blast talking, and I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's Mary. And she's like, "Hey, my parents are home, but I just wanted to come give you a quick hug." And as we talked, she was like, "I'll never forget it." She said, "Thank you for listening." She said, "Yeah, I've never felt listened to before in this way." She's like, "Thank you." And what do I see in that? I see the Savior. Do I listen to the Savior? Also, the Savior asked, do I listen to everybody like I would listen to a 14-year-old girl who's just having the hardest time of her life being around so many people? And that's the point of that book is, here's what I've learned. Are we doing this? The Savior asks, I think it's very poignant that the Savior invites us to be like a little child. And the scripture says, you know, a little child shall lead them. And that's absolutely true. You want to learn, you want to grow. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, look no further than the youth of the church. They have some phenomenal things to teach.
I think we'll leave it there. Thank you so much. So much. Is there anything else that you would like to touch on that I didn't know how to ask or should have asked that I didn't, that you would like to talk about?
I think it's about worth, right? I think oftentimes we think that we have to become someone or something for Christ to love us, for God to love us, or simply acknowledge us. I've learned that's not true, because the Spirit shows up when we're struggling. The Spirit shows up when we're not struggling. And that tells us something about Christ and God, that they love us through everything. And I just bear my testimony of that, that if you're listening to this, that you are loved, that you do have worth, that the Lord wants you here, that He wants you in His life, and not only wants, He needs you. And that, I hope, just rings true for you. You are loved.
Thank you so much, Ty. I can't even tell you the spirit that is in this room right now. It's just phenomenal, and I appreciate that you brought it and that you were just such a phenomenal example to me of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to love. So I really appreciate it. I really do.
Thank you so much. It's the Savior. It's the Savior. That's who we're trying to be.
100%. That was Ty Miller. He's a BYU Idaho student and an author. Thank you.